When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey everyone, this is DJ.
And this is Ish.
And this is Season 7 of Better Let Me Tell You.
In a world of pure imagination, unlike those in the UK.
We'll talk about that later. Isn't that a great song?
It is a very great song. To me, it's that Pure Imagination and Rainbow Connection are the two songs that just always get me right in the gut.
Like, what song is Rainbow Connection?
Someday we'll find it. The Rainbow Connection, the lovers, the
dreamer. Where is that from?
The Muppet Movie. It's sung by Kermit the Frog.
Oh, I don't know.
You've never seen the Muppet Movie?
I don't know. I don't know the Rainbow Connection. Sorry.
Classic Jim Henson song.
It's beautiful. I know Reading Rainbow.
I mean, I'm sure that's a Rainbow Connection of sorts, but a different kind. Yes,
okay.
Yes,
of course, you're always going with the Rainbow Connection. Anyway, everybody, welcome to episode 286 of Better Let Me Tell
You. Yes, and congratulations on 2 weeks in a row of getting it right.
Yes, BT, I know a thing or two. How is everybody?
I think everybody's doing well. It's Friday. We're in March.
We are in March.
That's it.
Yeah, we're in March. Yeah. Well, the Dollar Tree always has St. Patrick's Day stuff.
No, Dollar Tree now has 4th of July.
No, do they really?
No, but, you know.
No, they probably do.
Because St. Patrick's is already here, so it's 4th of July.
No, the spirit of Halloween is opening up again in your closest circuit city, ex-circuit city. You know, it's funny that last year or something that I was at the spirit of Halloween with Tristan, he's like, Papa, do they only open this store in Halloween? Because we go to the one that's next to Barnes & Noble here, you know, by where we live. And I'm like, that's a complicated story because the spirit of Halloween that we go to is the one that it used to be a Michael's.
Oh, yes,
Michael's moved across the street.
Right.
So, I'm like, you're too young to understand how the spirit of Halloween works.
But isn't it great that Spirit Halloween in the most Halloween spirit only opens in the dead corpses of old stores?
Do you think that? That's not why, but
come on, let's just go with it.
I wonder how much they pay in rent.
Or maybe they take over leases. And that's why they can just kind of swoop in for a month or two.
Maybe. I mean, who knows? I've never heard of the lease structure of
Let's look into the business plan of Spirit Halloween.
The Spirit of Halloween, is it owned by somebody else? Isn't it owned by Party City?
We have so many questions about Spirit Halloween. Because
you know what? I can't imagine a business being profitable only 1 month out of the year.
Right. I mean, I know they exist online, and obviously people go to them when they need costumes. But yeah, I mean, let's face it, it's Halloween.
It's late September, October. And October. Yeah, yeah. I mean, a month and a half out of the year.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, them and their return policy.
It's true.
But anyway, so welcome everybody. Yes. Welcome to our new episode of Pero Let Me Tell You. Last week we were saying that if we made it to this episode, we survived the Sobe Food and Wine Festival.
We did. Are you still recovering?
I was so tired on Sunday when we got back from the grand tasting. Same. That I wasn't tired.
Oh, you went all the way around.
I was too tired to be tired. You know when you're too tired to just be tired?
Yeah.
That I was like, I need to wind down. Like, I'm not generally a, no matter how tired I am, I'm generally not a get home, go to bed person. Mm-hmm. I need to, like, take a shower, watch TV. Like, I need to wind down.
No, I took a shower and I fell into bed.
And, yeah, it was intense. So for those of you who we talked about this briefly last week, but you know, some of you Pero Primos joined us.
A lot of Pero Primos were there.
So we were honored and privileged to be part again this year of the South Beach Food and Wine Festival, and the Sobe Food and Wine Festival is a really big deal. Like, yeah. I mean, we're not even. I generally try to be very humble and modest about these things, but it is a very big deal. And Ping Pong Pollo was asked again this year to do it, and we did two events. On Saturday, we did a chicken coop event, mm-hmm. Which was only chicken and champagne. Right. But it was a smaller event. It was about between 500 to 600 people. And then on Sunday, we did what's called the Grand Tasting, which is kind of their biggest event insofar as the amount of people that go to the event. And it was between 3,000 and 4,000 people. And I'm sure that there was probably like 1 million people really there, because it was just, I mean, look. The Grand Tasting, for those of you who've been to the Grand Tasting, know what we're talking about. And it's just so many people that it doesn't matter how well you prepare. I think we were very well prepared.
We were. We really had down to a science.
Right. It doesn't matter how well prepared you are, that you have a game plan, you have the help. I mean, it was four of us. You're just going to be... I don't even want to say miserable because I wasn't miserable, but you're just going to be overwhelmed.
It's going to be what it is.
What is it, 6 hours that you're there?
It was from 12 to 5.
Right, so about 6 hours.
12 to 5 is when people are there.
But right.
We were there since 9:30 in the morning.
And we started first frying like 2 hours before because our wings are double fried. We were prepared. Yeah. Like, we were prepared. And like the first hour and a half, because I was doing front of the house because I plate the chicken wings because they have to be perfect in the way they have to be, all in like the same angle and everything. I was even mentioning it to our friends who helped us out. I'm like, you know, it's really busy, but it's manageable. But then all hell broke loose. Like, all I know is that, like, when this festival started, we had first fried, I don't know, about 10,000 chicken wings, it felt. And there was, like, literally a mountain of chicken wings.
Yeah.
And about an hour and a half in, I turn around and I look at you. You were frying. And I'm like, the mountain of chicken wings are gone.
And people are still coming.
And now, es cuando la cosa se está poniendo
heavy. It doesn't really start to get crazy until, like, 2.
Right.
Yeah. And so that's when it just... I will say this again. Thank you to everybody who came in and had our wings. Y'all waited.
Yes.
Waited like a good 10, 15 minutes.
Yes,
sometimes
people really waited. And
that's humbling.
It was very humbling. There were lines of people waiting to have our wings.
Yeah.
We heard that we did very well in the voting. Yes. We won't go into specifics because it's not official.
We got some insider
info. We did very, very well. And, you know, we were up against a lot of very big name chefs and very established restaurants.
Yeah.
On both days. On the Saturday event, I got to Michelle Bernstein, who is I absolutely love Michelle Bernstein. I've always been a fan.
You'd gotten to meet her the night.
I met her a couple of nights
on
before,
Fake Friday,
and then she came Saturday to. Well, she was presenting at the Saturday's event. And she came and she tried our guayabi queso wings. She's just absolutely lovely. You know how sometimes they tell you, don't meet your heroes, don't meet people that you like, celebrities, because they usually disappoint. This is not the case with her. She was just so lovely and warm and just so incredibly supportive and wonderful both days that we met her. So I can't say enough good things about her. So thank you, Michelle Bernstein. Yeah. And thank you so much to the South Beach Food and Wine Festival. I mean, it really, really is an honor and a privilege to be there, being that 2 years ago, being Bamboyo was like...
We didn't exist.
And, you know, we're like, well, we're going to do chicken wings. And neither of us has restaurant experience. So let's see what comes out of this catastrophe.
And now we've done two events.
Now we've done
two major events.
Yeah.
Two major events.
Thank you to everybody who has supported us. And
yes. And I want to ask you something specifically, because I know that we've talked on this show a lot about it. But I know also, you know, a little bit of imposter syndrome
both
our parts. Yes. Do you feel a little better about that after Saturday and Sunday? Do you feel a little more like you're part of the club, so to speak?
I know. I don't feel part of the club because I'm not a trained chef. Mm-hmm. I didn't go to school to be a chef.
Right.
And I really look up to people that do, right? That's why I always tell you, like, simple things like that. I wouldn't wear a chef's shirt, mm-hmm, you know, like whether we're in the kitchen, because I'm not a chef, and right, like
you I respect
think
it's
a thing of respect, at least for me.
I agree.
And I could just make good chicken wings. I mean, I cook well, but I'm your average home cook that cooks well and has a few tricks up his sleeve,
right? You're not trained, right?
You know, as far as imposter syndrome, I mean, that's just who I am. So I have to tell you, though, that there was something very validating, and I don't do these things to feel validated, but there was something very validated, especially in the second half of the towards the second half of the day of the grand tasting, that there was a huge line, and there was a huge line for a while. It's not like we were just backed up, and I mean, we couldn't get the wings out enough, and everybody was serving food, and there was a line for our wings, and we got a lot of people.
A lot of those people were multiple times.
Came and were like, this is the best thing in the whole grand tasting. And when you hear that, it's sort of like you don't believe it, because it's like, okay, there's a lot of really good food here.
Yeah.
It's not like our competition was like, you know,
one or two things.
Cheito haciendo, you know, Totone, you know, not that there's anything wrong with that.
But
you know, there were like freaking Papi Steak was there and all these like established restaurants. And we had a lot of people come and tell us that it was the best thing they had at the fair, at the festival. So I was very like, are you sure?
did you see the text from our friend?
Which one?
Our pharmacist friend?
Yes.
You did? Okay.
Yeah.
That to me was very validating, because the fact that, so she's a pharmacist, she works at a pharmacist at a hospital. That Monday morning, somebody that she worked with came in talking about the South Beach Wine and Food Festival, mm-hmm, and saying that they had this incredible chicken, and it's some place that was called like a bim bam boom. Mm-hmm. Obviously, she knew it was us because she's a friend of ours. But to me, that's validating, because mm-hmm, it's not just people at the festival. It's people talking about us after the festival.
Right. Who didn't know her, didn't know that she knew us.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, it's stuff like that. I mean, look, I think that the whole imposter syndrome thing, that's just who I am. Like, I always feel that I don't belong anywhere. So I definitely don't belong in that club. But, you know, as far as being Pampoyo goes, I feel it's a little engine that could. We're making this thing work.
It's going to work. I promise you.
We're making this thing work. And we're 2 years in. So, yes, thank you to everybody who came to Sobe.
Thank you,
Sobe, for having us. It was a great experience.
Yes. They've already, by the way, asked us to, you know, hold the dates for next year.
They did?
Yep.
Okay, well,
yeah,
we'll cross our bridge when we get
there. We have a year to figure out what we're going to do next.
Okay. Anyway, so
although we have an idea already.
Okay, so how was your week?
Well, my week was fine. It was, you know, just a nice little week recuperating. Mm-hmm. I honestly felt Monday I was still tired from Sunday.
I'm tired today, and it's fake Friday.
That's true. But you know what I saw this week? Mm. I saw
the sign.
Well, I mean, it opened up my eyes, but I also saw...
You know that life is really demanding without understanding.
Yeah, I know. I saw the sign. And life is going to lift me up where I belong. And someone else who's where they belong, see how I'm transitioning, is Yolanda Saldívar. And I saw the documentary. You saw the
documentary that Yolanda Saldívar.
Did you see it finally?
I have not seen it.
Okay.
So. I have mixed feelings about seeing it or not, but it is what it is.
So I saw it. It's on Peacock right now.
Wasn't it on like Sugar?
Oxygen.
Oh, okay.
So close. Also, Sugar is not a channel.
Well, it should be.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say no, but it was on Oxygen. It was an interesting little documentary. I saw both episodes, and I still don't know what its
point. Oh, it's two episodes.
Yeah, I still don't know what the point was.
They wanted people to watch this.
Okay, no. From a business perspective, I understand what the point was. But you know, every documentary has to have like an angle, right?
Let me just
take a guess. Take a stab.
She said a lot, but said nothing.
Essentially,
yeah. That she holds some secrets of Selena.
Well, no, we saw the secrets.
Oh, supposedly. What were the secrets?
Supposedly.
Oh, wait. Did we see the box?
They were in boxes, but like those legal boxes. Oh. So it wasn't
the banker's box.
Yeah, the banker's boxes. You know, look, the first episode was basically just a recapping of like what happened, which I think it's interesting because obviously this was something done for an English language audience. And as I'm watching this, I'm like, mm-hmm. Like, give me the new stuff. Give me something new because, you know, being Latino, we've seen this all before. One of the things that I did find, and so then the second episode, the whole purpose of this thing is to kind of not say that she didn't do it because she did. It's almost just to try and figure how to change the narrative for her motive because she's held all along that it was an accident. Mm-hmm. And the whole thing has always been that, like, they found out that she was embezzling and blah, blah, blah. The whole thing is that they found like all these documents that says that, oh no, she really wasn't embezzling and she really was, you know, and she had sent a letter of resignation, but then no, on the other side, nobody ever has record of having received the letter of resignation. And then she has a letter from like a doctor that Selena was supposedly having an affair with. And it's this thing of like, look, at the end of the day, this is why I'm saying, I don't know what the point of this was because this is not even a case of like, you got the wrong woman, right? It's like, No, she did the thing. She's admitted to it. So you're just trying to change the narrative of the why? And I don't understand bother.
But from a legal standpoint, I mean, listen, I'm no fan of Yolanda Saldívar by far.
It was interesting to watch her family be the ones going through her documents.
But, I mean, it depends because if they were able to prove that, in fact, it was an accident, obviously we're talking about manslaughter and all that. You know what? I forget, and I should know this. Was it second-degree murder she was charged with?
I believe so. I don't remember right now off the documentary, but
it must be second degree.
Their whole crux of
is it? I don't know. I don't remember.
But their whole crux of it is that like
you, Mr. Law and Order,
she bought a gun and she took the gun with her. So I think that's what they were hanging.
Wait. She took the gun with her. She had just bought that gun that
day. She had bought the gun like maybe a week ago.
Oh yeah, no, that doesn't look good.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
It's not like okay, this is a person that
has
routinely
a gun.
Carried a gun.
Right.
Right? If she bought the gun a week ago, yeah. Right, and she took it with her to this meeting, yeah, that motive starts to
right.
Her to whole, get all very...
Her whole stance is that she had put the gun to her head and that...
I didn't want to kill my friend!
And then...
I'm quoting the movie. I didn't want to kill my friend!
And then as Selena was... so she was going to try to kill herself... And then when Selena went to leave, she's like, no, don't leave. Y se disparó la pistola. Right. That's her story.
Right. At her chest.
Again, that's Yolanda's story. And I believe
Selena was shot by the back.
Yes, right. Because she says it. She says Selena was leaving and she's like, no, don't go. And she, that you know, disparó and that's where we're at. She's up for parole next year. And
she's not getting out.
I will say this. Please don't come for me, pero primos. I don't think she's one of these cases that it's like, look, what she did was horrible. It was awful. She's probably not getting out like you're saying, but she's also not someone who's gone like on this rampage. You know what I mean? It's not like she's a serial killer. And I don't know if she's a threat to society, especially at her age, mm-hmm. in terms of parole. That's the one thing that I came away from it was like, look, this woman, even if they give her parole, it's like, what is she going to go work at Walmart? Like, she can't go anywhere. She can't. Her life is done. Like, she can't resume a life.
Right, but from a legal standpoint or legal precedent, there's a lot of people who have been in similar situations where they just killed someone or they were very, very young or they were brainwashed, you know. Choose your reason.
Yeah.
Who have spent life in prison. So from a legal precedent, you know, that sort of falls short. You know, there's a lot of people who are in jail that if they were out of jail, I don't think they would be a threat to society. I mean, look, I used to watch all the time. I remember they used to play like a marathon of the parole hearings for Leslie Van Houten, I think her name is, which is one of the people that murdered the Bianca.
The LaBianca Tate murders.
Right, from the Charles Manson.
Yeah.
And these girls were like 17, 18, 19 years old.
Oh, yeah, I know.
They were brainwashed by this man who we know how manipulative Charles Manson was. And they were manipulated by this man to kill these people. And they were under like a trance. And they did. And I remember I used to watch this woman's parole hearings. Because again, court TV back in the day when it was like a...
When it was court TV.
Yeah. It used to play things law related. And, you know, what a thought, right? And they used to put like a marathon of all her parole hearings throughout the years. Like it would start off her young and then, you know, it would end up her when I was, and I would often think like she's remorseful for what she did. And I don't think she would be a threat to society, but should she be out? Because she did murder these two people. And you're talking about the person that I've always been about defense. And I believe in defending even the who's guilty. I'm 100% defense. But you do have to do that. And as far as...
But I would say in the case of like of her and all the Manson girls, it's slightly different because, I mean, those murders were just so horrific and barbaric and savage. And you could also even make the argument that it's like if she was brainwashed once, what's to say she can't be brainwashed again? So I understand the no parole if we really stop and look at all angles.
But, you know, so is the Selena one. I mean, the Selena one wasn't graphic in so far. Like, you know, they didn't put dye pigs with her blood on the wall like they did in the Manson ones. But I mean, it was a pretty violent. I mean, she shot her. And... you know, Selena's trajectory, she like ran to the hotel lobby. It was just terrible. She shot her. And again, I should know this, and I don't know if she got, if second it was degree. First degree or second degree. I mean, I guess you could punch a hole that it was premeditated, but again, I would go for in terms of premeditation, why did you take the gun to this meeting with Selena, who wasn't you were an adversarial allegedly with her. Right.
I almost would have understood the gun if she had been meeting with Abraham.
Right. So, I mean, that screams premeditation to me. Mm-hmm. Again, I don't know, as much as we remember when Selena was murdered and we went like everybody else through the whole loss of Selena. I actually don't know and haven't read upon the case against Yolanda Saldívar. I feel I should know, but
yeah, I do know that the whole thing was, you know, they were saying, oh, she was embezzling. She was actually never charged with any embezzlement charges. After the fact, like when everything went through and the prosecutors were saying it's because they didn't need it. They were like, look, what are we going to do with charging her with embezzlement? We've got her on murder.
You know? Right. Did you know Selena before she died?
I knew of her. I wouldn't say I knew her.
You didn't know her songs?
I knew like, you know, a couple, but not to the extent that I do know.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. How did you not know Selena if you watched MTV Internacional on Sundays with Daisy Fuentes?
This is true.
I mean, Selena was always on. Amor Prohibido.
Right. But that's the album I know.
But that album was really big.
Right, but that's what I mean. Like, that's what I knew of her, but I couldn't tell you, like, Selena y los Dinos. Like, you
okay,
know,
that, well, but Selena y los Dinos, like, I think, like, OG people know that. But Selena before she died was... I wouldn't say she had gone like super, super mainstream in Spanish music, but she was mainstream enough she was
poppy.
She was, I remember that she died March 31st. I remember that earlier that month, because here in Miami, they used to do Los Carnavales in March.
Yeah.
She was in Carnaval Miami, in the one in Bayfront Park. Mm-hmm. She sang. I even remember what she was wearing. I remember what she sang. And then around that time, she was on Sábado Gigante. And she used to come out on this show all the time on Telemundo called Padrísimo.
Oh, I've totally forgot about that
show. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And around the time she died, I think the song of hers that was like really popular was No Me Queda Más.
That song. I mean, again, I knew that album, but that's why when you said like, how did I know? I knew that album, but I wouldn't say I was like.
I knew Foto y Recuerdo too. I knew of her. I knew a bunch of her songs. I remember my grandmother used to really like her. But you know, yeah, after she died, of course, like a lot of people, you sort of become more knowledgeable to her music. I love her English album.
That's so good.
Yeah, for some reason, I'm thinking of that song, Captive Heart.
I'm thinking, and I can't think of the name right now, that she did like a freestyle song.
I know you're taking my lean. Is it the beat?
No, no, no. There's another one. There was another one that was like a demo almost.
The song of hers that I actually, in English, that I love is I'm getting used to such you. And I'm loving everything. Oh, but wait. Hold on. You didn't know Selena, like know her from the song with the Barrio Boys? Because that song was enormous.
That song I knew. That song yeah, I did
because,
know.
Yes. Because the Barrio Boys were like,
yes.
At that time in the Spanish world, were as big as like Boys to Men.
Yeah.
And then they featured her. And that song is pure R&B pop.
Yeah, they are pop.
And that song was everywhere.
That song I knew. You're right.
Yeah. I love the Barrio Boys. No, actually, I don't know that song from The Box. I know that song from MTV. That song was everywhere. Una vez más. I'm sorry. That's what Barrio Boys. In the morning come without you with it.
Oh my God.
I hear your voice. I hear your laughter. ¿Cómo se llama?
I can't think of the chorus now.
Donde quiera que estés.
Primer amor.
Recuerda donde
mi primer amor. Quiera, na, na,
a tu lado. You know what's funny? I know that song in English and in Spanish, but not Spanglish.
So you don't know it off to me, of the, it's like the two soundtrack?
Different songs, yeah. No, in the soundtrack, it's in English.
It's in English? Isn't their part in Spanish?
No, their part is in English. Her part is in Spanish. Okay,
there you go.
So. It's almost here.
You mean?
Yep. Our favorite tradition is back. The fair. It starts March 14th through April 7th.
Yes. Okay. And this year's theme is Space Venture. And I've seen the new ride called the X-Drive. Bro, that thing is like the kamikaze on steroids.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty insane. And of course, there's the exhibits and new shows this year, like the Amazing Bubble Factory and Space Adventure Thrill Show.
Okay. Rides, exhibits, shows. I mean, that's all good, but we know what our pet openings want to hear about.
The food. Dale, what can we look forward to?
Okay, are you ready? Korean corn dog, cinnamon roll sundae, banana cream pie nachos, elote sundae, Angela's pineapple and guava pizza, cheeseburger on a stick, buffalo chicken fries, and more.
Coño. Wow. Oye, new rides, shows, and food. Visit fairexpo.com to get entrance and ride tickets. Then enjoy them all at the fair from March 14th through April 7th, okay? You know we gotta say it. Be there.
The fair.
Anyway, bueno, let's move right along. So we started this episode with singing about
Mr. Willy Wonka.
Willy Wonka, Pure Imagination. Did you hear what happened down?
It was wonderful.
Okay, listeners.
It was wonderful.
So over in Glasgow, I can't say the word, in Scotland, they were doing what was supposed to be called an immersive Willy Wonka experience. And pursuant to these posters and this advertisement, kids were going to enter the land of Willy Wonka.
A pure imagination.
They were gonna do the chocolate river with the chocolate waterfall. I mean, it was like that scene in the movie when they walk into the chocolate factory and, you know, the song plays and everything is wonderful and magical. And this is what they were going for. It was an immersive experience. The tickets were not cheap. And I don't know if it's sold out, but it sold well enough. So this has made the news all over the world.
I love it.
Because what my parents got there. So basically, this immersive Willy Wonka experience was a bear warehouse. It had like one rainbow. It had some mushrooms from like, you could tell they were using it like a play.
Right.
And it had like,
some, like a cellophane.
And then lollipop. There was a part where they had a backdrop of some kingdom, like the ones that you buy at like the dollar store to put up at a birthday party. And there was a table with like a few cups half filled with lemonade. And this was the world of pure imagination that the kids were walking into.
How dare you forget that Oompa Loompa?
Oh, yes. They hired a Oompa Loompa.
She looked like she wanted for death to come collect her.
Yes. But they only had one Oompa Loompa. Did they have other actors playing like Willy Wonka? Because I only read about the actors that played the Oompa Loompas.
All we ever saw is that poor woman.
Yeah. So... needless to say, and the pictures are all over online, like this is one of these things, listeners, that like as well as we do to describe it, although there's not a lot to describe, you know, it's something you have to see for yourself.
Yeah.
But it's just what I compared this to the Fyre Festival.
Okay.
People bought one thing and got another. But here you're not talking about like super privileged, you know, influencers. Right. Here you're talking about people that took their kids and, you know, the kids were looking forward to it. So I love how in all the articles I read about this, they were like, people went in wanting pure imagination and they left getting real hell. And kids were laughing. I'm sorry, crying and all that. I'm like, I would be crying too. What I think is so messed up about this is that they didn't even try.
No. Oh, God,
it's not like, oh, shit, this opens tomorrow. Like we don't have it. Like, let's put some shit together.
Let's just grab a bunch of sticks and styrofoam and make lollipops.
Yeah.
No.
They just didn't try. There was, like, one rainbow that they walked through and has, yeah, a few mushrooms that you could tell that was used for something else. Right?
It was like, you know, school play at 5, Willy Wonka at 6. Yeah.
Oh, they had a bounce house.
Oh, okay. Well, one bounce house.
I mean, but if they're gonna have an immersive experience at a Willy Wonka thing, they need to put people on harness and take them up the fan.
Oh no. I'm pretty sure that's a liability issue.
I mean, we're gonna really make it fun.
That is one of those instances though where I think Willy Wonka is one of those don't even try it. Don't even try to recreate it because budget-wise, it's just not going to... You can't do it.
I feel that Willy Wonka is one of those things that, like, it can be easily recreated because there's so much content, but you either go big or go home.
Right,
you can't half-ass Willy Wonka.
No, like what they did...
Although this is less than one half-ass. This is like
this is a quarter of a cheek. This is the type of thing that if you were doing like your kid's birthday in the backyard and you have a smallish backyard and you kind of cobble everything together, you can kind of create the illusion of what you're going for. Right? But not in a big-ass warehouse. It's not going to work.
But what they had wasn't even good. That's what I'm saying. Like, they had one rainbow bridge thing that you walk through, a couple of mushrooms, a bounce house, and a backdrop that they got at like the dollar store equivalent in Scotland. Like,
yes,
they didn't even try.
And a sad Oompa Loompa.
But no Willy Wonka on site, apparently. No. So, and you know the thing about Oompa Loompas? Like, the point of Oompa Loompas is having several Oompa Loompai.
Okay, officially the plural.
Oompa Loompa, like,
it's not impressive.
Oompa Loompa.
It's not impressive. No, it's not impressive. You need at least three.
No, I think at least five.
Okay, but if you're
it's on a band, a boy band. But enough for a boy band.
That's great, Simon
Fuller. I mean, they do sing and perform.
You know what? You're right. They are the original boy band.
And they do need one person in the middle, so that's why they need an odd number.
There you go. They're a boy band. That's it. Change approved.
So, yeah. So, shame on you guys. Shame on you guys. Return that money.
Yeah, seriously. But, you know, it's one of those things that has been happening a lot lately. Not that thing in particular. But it's these immersive experiences. I think I've told you there's a few of them down here in Miami where it's like, oh, come to the, you know, the museum of cotton candy, the museum of blah blah, you know, whatever. And it's like, right, all it is just you're paying to go to take pictures to promote the damn thing on Instagram.
Right, but I know it's like a circular argument. Yeah, right.
It's come like
to promote it on Instagram, but there's not real anything.
There's nothing stuff. Here. It's just stuff to promote on Instagram. Right,
but at least those things have content.
Right.
Even if it's silly, they have content. They have the like the confetti thing you jump into and all that stuff. But this,
the room that's big and small at the same time.
Yeah. So whatever.
Yeah.
So There was something that I was thinking about this week that...
God, when you say that and then follow it with a laugh, I
wonder. Right, no, no, because, like, you know, in helping my kid, you know, with his homework and stuff like that, so obviously I've revisited, you know, some good old things that I hadn't done since I was in school, in elementary school specifically. And this sort of, like, made me think of other things. So, you know how you always say when you're in high school or just in school in general, like, specifically for algebra, that, like, oh, why do I have to learn algebra? I'm never going to use it in real life, right? And I always tell people, look, it's not about that you're going to use X plus Y equals this. It's the concept and the mindset of, like, trying to figure something out that you learn in algebra that helps you in real life situations. But I actually started thinking about certain things that you learn in school that you will never use in real life. And you know what I thought about one of those things is? MLA format. Can we talk about that for a minute?
Yeah.
So when you're in high school, especially, holding tanto with the MLA format, everything has to be an MLA format.
All these thesis papers.
Yeah. Everything, you know, the bibliography has to be typed in a certain way and all this stuff. And it has to be
footnotes.
There's like MLA format, there's like ABA format and all that. So my question is, like, does this have any real world value? Because let me tell you something. When you're in college and you're writing research papers, I wasn't doing no MLA format. I was doing the format that whatever the teacher told us
to.
And in real life, unless you become a research scientist or somebody who does research, a lot of research for your living or, you know, in just in your scholastic trajectory, you don't need none of that. You know, for real life. So holding tanto with the, oh, this has to be MLA format. When the hell are you going to use MLA format in real life? And I remember writing research papers and being like, oh my God, is it three spaces or four spaces? Like, between the word and the period. It's like, people, why do we need this MLA format? Just to have a nicely typed, you know, or, you know, word processed document with your name and your ID and the date, and that's it.
You know, I wonder nowadays with everything, you know, like Microsoft Word, where you can just format everything, is it even still a quote? I mean, I know you're telling me it's a thing, but I mean, is it still like a quote unquote thing compared to when we were kids? Because I feel like now you can Uber format everything.
When we were in high school, Microsoft Word was around.
Yeah, but it was Microsoft Word. But Microsoft Word now, you can probably... Right,
but MLA format, no. MLA format, you don't put something on Microsoft Word and goes, oh, do it MLA format. MLA format is a very specific way that you have to type things and you have to present your paper and you have to put your work cited and your bibliography in a very specific way.
We didn't do it in college.
You know, the author's name has to go in a certain way.
If you're quoting, if it's more than three lines, it has to be pulled.
It's a very specific way. It's a very specific way. Yeah. So, which you're never going to use in real life. Never. So, like, I always was like, why is this whole MLA format such a big deal? Like, you're not going to use this in real life. I understand that, you know, especially when you're grading a lot of papers, there has to be some type of
standard
in terms of the way that the kids, the students, turn in their stuff. I agree. But, you know, teachers were always so like, oh, your period is off one, you know, so red mark, you know, and you will get a lower grade. And I'm like, really? Like, really? So I'm just curious, listeners out there. I know we have a few listeners that are teachers.
That's true.
Can you enlighten us about the MLA format and why do we really need the MLA format?
What are because the origins all I of the know MLA format?
Is that 30 years later, I still have a little bit of trauma from having to figure out the MLA format.
So would you say you have MLA PTSD?
I have something because when I've helped my kid with like his bibliography, it's like I'm like,
what is he working on that has a bibliography?
Everything has a bibliography, like his science experiments. Where did he get the information from? You have to type a bibliography. Wow. And it's MLA format.
It's like in fourth grade.
I know. And like the last one that he did, the instruction said it, make sure it's an MLA format. And here I was like Googling MLA format. And then a bunch of other formats came out. I'm like, which one's MLA? Like, because there's different types of MLA formats too.
That too.
Like,
yeah.
It's just a cluster F. And I'm like, pero pa qué? Like,
Just give me a format.
There's nothing in a resume that says, are you a master in MLA format? Like, is that something you put in your
design? Not even a LinkedIn special skill. Skills
and qualifications on your resume. Oh, I'm proficient in MLA format.
Not even there. Not even on LinkedIn. Not even a little bit.
I bet you no other podcast is talking about the MLA format.
No, there are probably literature podcasts that aren't talking about the MLA format right now. Because that's what we do. We bring you the hard-hitting stuff, Pero Primos. We talk about MLA format. I can't think of the last time I even thought about it.
Well, because you've been out of school for a few years.
This is true. This is true. What's funny that you're talking about MLA format. I heard something on a podcast earlier today that I wanted to bring up with you. And it's not about MLA format. But, all right. This is just that type of like stupid things that we would have this conversation amongst our friends off camera, off mic. Mm-hmm. All right. So we can all agree that when people say a couple, right? A couple is two, mm-hmm. right?
A throuple is three.
A throuple is three, as we all now know.
Is there a quadruple? Quadruple?
I'm sure if we keep going. But I'm saying a couple is two, right? A pentuple? What number would you say constitutes a few, and what number would you say constitutes several? Like, what are the number ranges we're looking at for each of those?
I feel that several is more than a few.
Okay, I agree, but now give me an actual, like what's okay, the range?
I would so say,
obviously, couple is two.
Okay, so. I would say a few is 3 to 5, and several is 6 and on.
See, I think a few is like 10 and below.
I mean, I guess. I mean, there's not a right or wrong answer.
But then I also think that it's called several, so maybe some people will be like, well, several has to start at 7.
Is that a thing?
No, but several. Like, again, I can see people, like, making that, like, you know. But this totally reminded me of, like, the conversations we have about, like, you know, the days of the week and the personalities.
Oh, the personalities?
That. Yeah.
So, a few.
So, when I heard it, I was like, I'm going to ask Darian.
The one that I always get a little bit, like, I'm not sure when to use it is a handful. How much is a handful? Is a handful more or less than a few?
Yes.
A handful is less than a few?
Yes.
And definitely less than several?
Yes. A handful is no more than 5 because you've got 5 fingers.
Okay, that makes sense. I like that logic.
Right? So like 5.
Because I use I say that sometimes, oh, a handful of it. And I'm like, is a handful 3?
Also, or is it not all handfuls are created equal, because a handful by Shaq is not the same as a handful by Marcy.
Well, I mean, yes, but I mean, do you have a handful of Big Macs, or do you have a handful of nails?
I'd rather eat a handful of Big Macs than a handful of nails. Up. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yes. So, okay, see, I didn't even think about a handful.
Uno cuanto.
Uno cuanto. Okay, but is uno cuanto different than a few and a handful?
I don't know. Do you know what really messes me up in Spanish?
6 and 7?
Oh, no, 60 and 70.
Yeah, right. That's, yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Who the hell invented those two numbers?
Kind of fucking masochist. No.
What always messes me up, and I think that Cubans are not in the majority here. In Cuban Spanish, when somebody says, oye, tráeme esto, and you go, ahorita.
Oh, it means like later, yeah.
But in, like, I don't know if it's Mexican Spanish or everybody else Spanish, when they say, oh, tráeme eso, and you say, ahorita, it's now.
Yeah, I think our ahorita is, I think, Caribbean.
So, right, in the Caribbean, ahorita means later, but in the rest of Latin America, ahorita means now.
Yes.
There's an urgency to ahorita.
Yeah, which I disagree with all of Latin America.
On that?
Yes.
Because, you know, sometimes on television, when you see people say ahorita, you see them with all this, like...
They're running.
They're stopping what they're doing to do something. I'm like, but that's later.
Yeah, I don't think that you can put ita or ito after a word and have urgency. At all.
You know how you always know that one person? It's usually somebody in your family that ends everything in ito or ita.
I'm un favorcito.
Un favorcito, una cremita, una comidita, un vasito.
It's usually someone older.
I don't know. My mom's been talking like that forever. even when she was younger. Ay, mira, esa cremita, el cepillito, los zapaticos,
well, your mother's
el vencito.
Your mother's very diminutive.
El pantaloncito, Dariencito.
Maybe your mother secretly, like, you know, thinks Latin American. Well,
no, but my mom says that, but a lot of people say that.
Oh, yeah.
In Spanish, that everything is ito yita.
Ito yita.
So, you know, but then when it's big, it's, you know, grandón, que zapatón, que cabezón, que melón, que sofazón, que carrón,
que grandón,
que carrón, que carrazo, no, que carrazo.
No,
carrazo.
Wait, is it carrazo? No.
Carrazo.
Is it Carrazo?
Yeah.
I don't know. They both sound weird to me. I don't like either of them. I see. I would just say, like, tremendo carro.
One of my favorite words in Spanish is escaparate.
Escaparate is such a good word.
In English, it's wardrobe. In Spanish, it's un escaparate. And then it's funny. Whenever you hear, like, older Cuban people, and I guess this is true for most Latin Americans, every time you hear them talking about un escaparate, they just can't say... They just can't reference the wardrobe, right? They have to be like, ¿te acuerdas el escaparate de Esperancita? Oye, eso era de madera pura. Eso tenía, eso era de la tatarabuela de ella. Y eso es para una vida entera, el escaparate. Apparently, you know, in Cuba, escaparates really did last a lifetime. Like,
imagine if they had the one from Beauty and the Beast.
Boom. I mean, Cuba had some Narnia shit going on there. Apparently. With the wardrobes. Like, it's so funny. I hear my parents talking about that all the time. No, porque acuérdate el escaparate que nosotros dejamos en la casa cuando vinimos para acá. Eso era tremendo escaparate. Like,
they didn't have closets in Cuba.
No, they had escaparates.
Just like everywhere else. America's the only place that has un closet.
They have a closet now.
No, but right. In the UK, I mean, when you watch House Hunters International, all Americans are like, oh, but there's no closet space.
Yeah.
And it's like, but we have this lovely wardrobe here. it's like, bitch, just hang it in there. Don't worry about
so
it.
So you mean that if Narnia was American, it'd be the
Lion, the Witch, and the Walk-In Closet?
The Walk-In Closet. Oh, yeah, that's a hell of a walk-in closet. Sign me up for that.
It'd be like Cher's from Clueless.
The witch, the lion, and the walk-in closet. Oh, Americans and their walk-in closets, and you know, everybody else in their camaradas and their wardrobes.
We'll even use walk-in closets to measure.
I'm telling you, like, next time you see my parents, just like fish them for
tomorrow.
It. Be like, oye, en Cuba, ¿dónde ustedes ponían la ropa en los cuartos? ¿Dónde ustedes ponían la ropa? No en el camarada.
I'm gonna ask them that while I'm measuring out the flour.
Such a great word.
No, for me, escaparate is great, but I love hipoteca. I think I've said this before.
Hipoteca
is
great.
I love hipoteca, and I love crujiente.
Crujiente. Crujiente is so much better than crunchy.
Crunchy.
I mean, I like crunchy. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I like crunchy, but yeah, you're right. Crujiente.
Yeah, I also think just because in English, like, you can also, crunchy also has a negative connotation. It's like, oh, you look kind of crunchy today. But nobody in Spanish is like, estás crujiente hoy.
Like, whoever uses crunchy in a negative way.
You can be crunchy. Like, if you look crunchy, it means, like, you look like a little, like, hippy-dippy, you know, like, kind of grungy. Yeah.
I've never heard that.
Yeah. It's a thing.
I mean, I've heard of a crunchy roll.
I don't think anybody looks like a crunchy roll.
I mean... Oh, the other day, actually, Tristan was telling me that he wanted to download some app called Crunchy.
Oh, Crunchy Roll.
And I was like, I really want sushi right now.
Yeah, it's an anime app.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, crujiente, escaparate, and...
Hipoteca.
Hipoteca. Hipoteca is a good one.
It is.
It's a really good one.
It's like, oh, it's mortgage.
It's a hipoteca.
Hipoteca.
yeah. Anyway.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Voluma XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. We're well into the new year and you're probably trying to figure out how to keep those New Year's resolutions. You know who could help with that? Our friends at BetterHelp. So often we focus on external factors when trying to make changes in our lives when the key is actually improving our mental well-being. BetterHelp offers various customized therapy options like phone, video, text, or even live sessions, all with a certified therapist. Your mental health deserves to happen on your time, right? And BetterHelp can match you with a therapist in 48 hours in most cases. And as a special offer for Pero Let Me Tell You listeners, you can get 10% off your first month of professional therapy at betterhelp.com/pero. It's already more affordable than in-person therapy. Now you can also save on your first month. Self-improvement isn't just a New Year's resolution. It's a lifelong journey, and BetterHelp can help you take the first step on that path. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/pero. Thanks again to BetterHelp for sponsoring this podcast episode. So I wanted to actually mention something that was on the news this week. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of these times when these things happen, that people, you know, stick their foot in their mouth, or as we say in Spanish, meten la pata. You know, a lot of times I always try to see it from the outside in and be like, okay, did this person, like,
was it live TV?
Was it live TV? Right, and they really sort of meant one thing but said another, but their intentions weren't bad. Like, I always try to give people the benefit of the doubt. Mm-hmm. But there was something that was said this week or a couple of some days ago that it's kind of like, what the hell were you thinking? So this past week, the CEO of Kellogg's, cereal, has been dragged on social media and in the media. So I think they were having some type of sort of State of the Union on the Kellogg's Corporation, and they were talking about, like, the economy and things like that. And he pretty much said that, you know, inflation is very serious right now, times are tough, and, you know, Kellogg's has a history of, you know, providing great cereals for people, and, you know, that maybe if times are really tough for you, you should feed your family cereal for dinner. Like, this was the CEO of Kellogg's, you know, who makes millions of dollars a year, pretty much telling people, like, oh, you know, times are tough, eat cereal for dinner, right? And he was, you know, I think that that is the sort of definition of tone deaf, because that's, you know, that's not what you say right now. Because right now, it's not a situation like during a depression or a recession that people are out of work or people, you know, there's massive layoffs and people just cannot find work. That's quite the contrary right now with the economy. We have unemployment numbers that we have never had. Like, our unemployment is extremely low
right now. I don't believe that, by the way.
Okay, well, you may not believe it, but I mean, unemployment is not a problem right now.
No,
it's not a problem.
Okay, I'm gonna, you know what, I disagree, but
I mean, sure. It's not a, I mean, the data speaks for itself. I mean,
no, the data says that those are the people who are officially showing up as unemployed. Right, but that doesn't mean
but the issue right now is not unemployment. The issue right now is inflation.
Agree to disagree.
And Okay, but are you going to say really that the reason that people can't afford things right now is because of unemployment?
I'm just saying I disagree with you on the unemployment front. That's all I'm saying.
Right? Like, things right now are super expensive. And, and I mean, I know from somebody, you know, who has a kid and has to go grocery shopping for, like, one kid, you know, it's a lot of money. It's extremely expensive. So it's not an issue right now like other times that there's economic matters that, okay, well, people aren't working. There's massive layoffs. The economy's in the shit. No, like right now, unemployment is not at issue. People are working, but people aren't. A lot of people are not making living wages compared to
what things cost.
Compared to the inflation that we've been dealing with in the last couple of years in this post-COVID world, and the rise, especially of food costs. Like, food is out of hand. It's absolutely out of hand. So to say, so people are working. People are trying to put food literally on the table. So for the CEO of Kellogg's to come out and say, oh, well, you know, we're a company who's been there here, you know, for like 100 years. And, you know, just eat cereal. I mean, that's sort of like when Francis Suarez, the mayor of Miami, when they were talking to him about how rent and home
cost were living ridiculous,
it has gone up in Miami. He said, well, you can either get another job or get a cheaper house. I mean,
ask for a raise or something. He said,
It's not only is it a non-answer, but it's tone deaf. Yeah. And I mean, he's been dragged this week with that comment. And, you know, I don't even know if he's apologized. I'm sure he had. And, you know, he probably didn't mean anything badly with that. But, you know, when you're the – listen, when you are the head of a corporation this large and you're making millions upon millions upon millions of dollars, and you know that right now there is an issue in the United States with the middle class specifically that are working and everything is super expensive and they can barely afford the necessities or living expenses that they had and they're living paycheck to paycheck, that is not necessarily the best look. Like, you know...
I mean, I'm not going to speak on behalf of the Kellogg CEO because I don't know the guy. But I will say, I think again, this might have been an instance, like you said, where the message came out wrong. I think the way to present that would have been from the angle of, like, you know, cereal's not just for breakfast anymore. It's a very nutritious meal. It, you know, it can provide you with all the nutrients at any point in the day. And, you know, I'm proud that we have a product that, you know, can sustain your family at any time of the day. And we're proud to continue in that tradition. Like, again, I think it's the phrasing of it, right? Where if you say something to that effect, it's not the same as saying, like, well, you could just have it for dinner. It just, again, because now you're talking about how you're extolling the virtues of the brand, but you're also saying how it can be just become part of your life throughout the day. And it's, you know, don't just think of it one way. I can see how that message could have gone one way and went completely the other.
I think it was super tone deaf. I think it was super tone deaf. I think, again, I don't think he meant any ill will by it, but I think that he... If you would have said this some other, you know, a few years back, maybe it wouldn't have been as impactful. But again, in this day and age that you hear constantly on the news, eggs are up, you know, meat is up,
chicken
poultry
went up
is up, you know, everything is up. And you know, and you can't barely foot, you know, that's sort of like if the company that said... The company that makes ramen noodles, you know, comes out and says, well, you could eat ramen noodles day in and day out. Well, yeah, you can. You can, because a pack of six ramen noodle packs is still like $2.
Right.
Yeah, you can. You just will probably die, you know, after a few days, you know, because, and I love me some ramen noodles, but, right, you know, that doesn't have a lot of nutritional content. And cereal, I mean, cereal historically has been something that, you know, they serve at orphanages. So it's not necessarily the best look to be like, well, you know, you could eat cereal.
Right. But I mean, again, cereal is a little more nutritious than ramen noodles.
It really?
Yeah.
It is?
I'm not talking about like Fruit Loops, but right, I'm talking about like your cornflakes and your things like that. It does have nutritional value.
Okay, cornflakes may have more nutritional values than ramen noodles, but cornflakes, even the ones that don't have sugar, do not have a lot of nutrition. It's very, very, very the small amount of cereals that don't have like a ton of sugar. I mean, unless you're eating Total One or brand.
Well, that's whatever. What I'm saying. Again, I don't know what cereals he was referencing, but what I'm saying, right, I mean, obviously, if you're talking about like, again, Fruit Loops and, right, and things and like that,
you're going to feed your family, you know, Fiber One.
Well, if you have no other option.
Right. You're going to feed your kids fiber one. That's why I'm telling you that's a tone deaf comment. Because you're going to treat your, hey, honey, you know, for dinner tonight, we're having fiber one that tastes like freaking, you know, dead grass. We're having fiber one. We're keeping it healthy.
Sometimes you got to tighten the belt.
Right. But that's why that's tone deaf. Because if you are a family and you have kids, it's impractical and almost impossible that they're going to eat a nutritious cereal, which there's very few of them. So then the ones that they do have that kids would probably want to eat are the ones that are full of sugar.
Right. No, I know what the kids want, but the kids don't make a living. So you buy, the kids eat what's at the house.
Again, that is why this is such a horrible comment, because you're telling people to eat something. Oh, well, you could eat cereal. Yeah, you could eat cereal. What cereal? Like, yeah, we could eat cereal.
Yeah, I am telling you, the way he delivered it was not great, but I can see where there was an intent one way and went the other.
He should have just not said anything at all.
Well, but he's got to say something at the shareholder meeting.
There's a lot he could say. He didn't have to say that. But anyway, let's move right along. You know what I think is really stupid? I was thinking about this week, too. What? You know that movie, Love Story?
Ooh, the one with Ally McGraw?
I've never really seen it, but I know the very famous scene in it. Maybe listeners, some of you have seen it. Your parents have probably seen it because Love Story came out in like the early 70s. So it's about 50 years old. But that's one of like the most iconic romantic movies of all time. And like the famous line in that movie is, oh, love means never having to say I'm sorry.
Oh, yes.
What type of crock of shit is that? Yes. What type of crock of shit is that?
That's white nonsense.
Love means never having to say I'm sorry. Well, I beg your pardon.
Love is perpetually saying you're sorry and asking, what do you want to eat?
No, and love of all format, of all kinds, with your kid, with your husband parents, or wife, with your boyfriend or girlfriend, your parents, your friends.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty much always saying I'm sorry.
It's a big part.
It's a huge part.
Yeah.
What type of stupidness is that?
Whatever, it was the 70s. People were still high.
Do you think so? Well, maybe they were eating cereal.
They were probably eating cereal. They were probably eating some nutritious high cereal.
Was there?
I don't know. Back then, I wasn't around.
Well, neither was I. But
they were just coming off of Woodstock.
And in Woodstock, they drank Coke.
They drank, yes.
I know that Coca-Cola commercial.
Yes, that they all handed Cokes. Okay, do you know what I found out today? Do you remember that commercial about the Indian on the side of the Native American on the side of the road?
Yes.
Do you know that he was not Native American?
The one that he was crying because they were polluting
the earth.
No, but I'm not surprised.
Not only was he not Native American, he was Italian. But he married a Native American woman and lived in the tribe. And it wasn't until after his death that the entire tribe found out that he wasn't Native American.
Oh, so wait. He was pretending to be Native American. Yes, this wasn't like a casting that they did and they just hired
a guy to play a Native American. He had like a Native American name that he went by and that he used in everything. And he would say like his mother was from I don't know where and his dad was like Cherokee. And he built the whole narrative and they didn't find out until after he died.
Oh, so the people who casted him
thought they were being authentic. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there we go.
I'm like, wow. Just put a
bucket of cold water on me. I was actually reading about, I forget her name, but she's a very famous singer from the 60s who her whole shtick was being Native American and they found out that she wasn't.
I know who you're talking about. I can't remember her name either. Yes.
I think she was big in Woodstock or something. She was around in the 60s and she's still like an active recording artist and she's always been about like, you know, being Native American, the whole experience and all that. And she was a Native American.
She was not. Or is not. She's still with us, I think.
Oh, did you hear? Now that we're talking about people pretending to be things that they're not. This girl, Rachel.
And her OnlyFans?
Yeah, and her OnlyFans. So for those of you who don't remember, a few years ago, actually like 10 years ago, there was this lady called Rachel Dolezal.
Dolezal.
That she was like the head of the NAACP, like of a certain chapter of the NAACP. And she said that she was black, and she would put like foundation and makeup to look her, make her hair look, make her complexion look darker.
She would treat her hair.
She would perm her hair or wear it in braids. And honestly, she did look like somebody who was like, at least like, mixed.
Yeah. 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 For sure.
And, it came out that she was like this blonde girl from a white family. And, it was all a lie. And when I first heard about her, because when this, that news story came out, she was like the head of the NAACP, and she had like done a lot of work for the community, ton of work. I
think she went to an HBCU.
And I was even like, you know, it's not cool that she did this, but I tried to give her the benefit of the doubt. I'm like, look, at least something good has come out of this, that right. She's done a lot of really good work. But then I started to read that she, when she was applying for, I don't know if it was scholarships or fellowships, she was saying that she was black.
Yeah.
And she got those, that like based grant on, money. Yeah. Like, I don't remember if it was a grant money or a scholarship, but she got those awards. And that is what I have a problem with. Because now you're talking about a community that is marginalized and does have issues getting scholarships and things like that. So you're getting the few.
You're taking someone's spot.
Yes, spots that they already have. You're taking it
right
when you don't need to take it.
When you're not that.
Right. And you don't need to take it. Right. So that's when I really, like with her, I was like, that's messed up.
Yeah,
but she was in the news again these past few days or this past week because she's a teacher and she has an OnlyFans.
Yeah. And she was going by another name.
Yeah. She got fired.
Yes, she did. She got fired. And now she has changed the name on the OnlyFans back to Rachel Dolezal because she figures it's better marketing.
Well, yeah, you know, the cat's out of the bag.
It's better marketing.
The pussy's out of the bag.
It's
so,
like, you know. Well, and it's on OnlyFans.
You know, the internet doesn't forget people. Our podcast will be up forever.
That's true. The internet has a very long memory.
Yes, and that's why we're in episode 286.
There you
go. And they can all be found on various platforms like Spotify, Google, SoundCloud,
YouTube, Apple Podcast, Pandora, and iHeartMedia.
And you could also find us on Napster, LimeWire.
And your local jukebox.
What was it, BearShare?
Yes, I totally forgot about BearShare.
BearShare, CD1. And you could also download Real Media Player to listen to.
And if you can't find Real Media Player, just ask Jeeves.
You know that I loved me some Netscape Navigator. Oh, man.
The minute you said Netscape Navigator, my mind saw the big N.
Oh, no. I had the Netscape Navigator when the little thing was the lighthouse.
Wow.
Instead of the N twirling, it was the lighthouse spinning. Oh, yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
You were OG.
Long live Internet Explorer.
Oh, the little, now I'm thinking of the little clip.
Clippy. I mean, listen, I think Clippy should make a comeback. I'm not sure for
they
what.
They tried.
Well, you know what? Why do people hate Clippy?
Because Clippy would just show up when you didn't need him.
But Clippy was so cute.
I mean, you could make him go away.
Do you remember Clippy?
Like, you could make him just go away. I mean, it's a setting.
I mean, now Clippy would be like an avatar. And it'll be like, look at my cool avatar.
He'd be AI.
Of my AI avatar. You know, like Clippy, you know, bro. Like, he knows everything. He knows all my attachments.
He would just be called Clip. Because he's cool now. Oh, he's hipster.
Man, I remember downloading like the Real Media Player and like getting the updates and being like, wow.
This is technology.
Yeah. Well, it was.
I know it was, but it was. But thinking like, man, we're in the future.
It was such a good feeling when I had Napster. And yes, we are of that age.
Oh, yeah.
When I had Napster and like I would start downloading, I don't know, 40 songs or whatever. And then I would go to bed. And when I wake up, all my 40 songs were there. And then I would burn them on my CD and listen to them in my car. Life was good back then.
You know, that was a good day.
That was a good day.
That was a good day.
Yeah. I mean,
mixtapes
is something that kids will never understand now.
A playlist is close, but it's not the same.
That's like, it blew my mind when you told me, and I had never thought about that, but it's true, that there's no point anymore to doing greatest hits albums.
No.
Because why? You could just do a playlist.
Yeah. Like, how do these singers get out of their contracts now?
Christmas albums?
Okay, there you go.
Remix albums, maybe?
Yeah, remix albums probably, yeah.
But there's no need for a Greatest Hits album anymore.
Yeah. Like, why?
Yeah. Because Greatest Hits was something you so looked forward to because, obviously, like, it would include some songs that maybe you didn't have from, like, earlier albums. And then, did you notice that Greatest Hits would always have, like, two or three new songs?
Of course. That's how you justified buying it if you're a fan.
And then those songs were, like, proper singles with videos and all that. And now, not so much.
Now they just release a single. They don't have to release an album.
Yeah. So. Yep. And we'll listen to it on our Real Player.
Yes.
On our anti-skip Sony Walkman CD player.
Oh, I remember my anti-skip Sony Walkman.
Oh, man. I remember
Discman.
I remember, like, when, especially, like, during high school and college that we used to go to Europe a lot. And, you know, so we had a lot of long trips. I remember that, just that feeling of getting into the plane and, you know, since it was a long flight, getting situated, taking out your stuff. And I would take out my you know, CD player and my, you know, CD magazine.
The case, yeah.
And it was just like, I'm good for the next 8 hours. Let's go.
That's all you needed.
Yeah.
And that was back when airplanes gave food.
Hey, everyone. It's DJ. Yoye, you know we've been digging on Kawi Lemon Lime Soda for a bit now. The tart, sweet, bubbly taste of Kawi Lemon Lime is perfect for thirst quenching, and it's been a hit at all of our Ping Pong Boyo pop-ups. People love it. Not to mention, it's been a crisp, refreshing soda since 1948 without an aftertaste like some other sodas. Just saying. Así que, get your Kawi Lemon Lime at your store or even online. And if your store doesn't carry it, pues pídelo and start enjoying the authentically Cuban taste of Kawi Lemon Lime today. Kawi Lemon Lime, que rico es. Anyway, bueno, are we, speaking of food, are we thirsty?
We are thirsty. I mean, I already drank my Kawi, so I think it's time to actually give some Kawis out.
Kawis.
Yes, our last soda, our last Kawis.
Limón con lima, lima, limón. Lo trae Kawi, que vacilo. En la respuesta para este calor. Tómate un Kawi, lima, limón. Kawi.
Okay, so my last Kawi today is really, it was actually something I just wanted to talk about in the show. So I guess I could say I'm going to give my last Kawi to Wendy Williams. But this is voting. Nonetheless a topic that I wanted to talk about in the show. Have you seen the Wendy Williams thing?
Not yet, no.
I saw the first episode.
Okay.
And I have to tell you, I'm going to finish watching it, but I felt really weird watching it.
Mm-hmm.
Because on the one hand, you feel they're trying to exploit her. But then on the other hand, I think her family does really care about her.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other hand, you see that there's people around her, at least when they were filming the series, that were taking advantage of her, like employees and stuff.
Right.
And it's just really, really sad because I feel that with her, like, the downfall was really fast.
Yeah.
It was, like, literally from one day
to
the...
It feels really quick,
yeah. Like, from one day to the... One day she was doing her show, she was on top of the world, and boom. The next day, she wasn't on her show anymore.
She couldn't finish her last season.
Right. And it was so quick. And when you see her, there's something wrong there. I know that she was recently diagnosed with dementia. And aphasia, is it? Which is what Bruce Willis has. And, I mean, maybe when they filmed this, because the thing is that this series...
They say they didn't know when they were filming it.
Right, and it was filmed in, like, a couple of years. Like, I think there's certain parts that were, like, last year, and then parts that were, like, the year before. I'm not sure in terms of the timeline. But it wasn't something that was shot, like, 3 or 4 months ago. And I just... I feel bad for her because, like... And I was not actually a Wendy Williams fan.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought on her show she was deliberate. And she was mean. She was funny, and there were, you know, there were times that I laughed.
Right.
But I think that other time she was actually really mean. But so, one of the things that I felt really bad about her is I remember seeing a random interview about her a few years ago that it was sort of like an intimate interview, and she was saying, they were talking about her hair and her wigs,
mm-hmm.
and she said that they will never see her without her wig. That not even people that worked with her would never see her without her wig. Like, she could count a few people
right.
that or a handful of people that had seen her without her wig. So this was something that was very important to her, right? And she comes out without her wig on the show. And it's like seeing another person. And I just, that scene alone, I was like, oh, I don't know how I feel about this, because this is something that she was so vocal about mm-hmm. in terms mm-hmm. of the essence of who she is. And this is something that now it's being thrown out there for the world to see. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think she's one of these people that no matter what your opinion about her is and how you feel about the way she conducted herself when she had her show or not, it's just really sad to see anybody in that situation. It's just really, really sad. And, you know, I have a large amount of compassion and empathy for her and her family. She's under a conservatorship.
Yes, yes.
And her family actually doesn't know where she's at.
No, yeah. It's a very odd conservatorship.
Yes, it's yes. Not even, so, yeah. You know, I mean, who knows? Because I feel that with her case, because I feel like with Britney Spears' case, like it was a little bit simpler insofar as like, okay, she was under a conservatorship. Her dad was right. a conservator.
It was the family.
Okay, they were accusing, her whole shtick was that they were taking advantage of her and her money. But here it's like, you don't know, like, how does she end up in the conservatorship? Like, who, I mean.
There's a lot of questions.
Yeah, so yeah, yeah. My last cowie is her.
Yes, well, again, I do want to see the docu-series, as they call them now. She's just been a figure that I have always found interesting for all her faults. Speaking of figures who have faults, my last cowie is actually going to go to the latest season of Feud, which is Capote versus the Swans. For those of you who don't know, it's a story about Truman Capote, who is an author, and he became kind of just like a media personality. And his relationship with these high society New York women who he called the Swans, because his whole shtick was that, you know, they looked very graceful above water, but underneath the surface, they were all kicking like hell to keep up the facade.
Is that what swans do?
Well, yeah, think about it. Swans, it's paddle, 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 but they look so graceful on the water. Okay. It's a hell of a show, specifically because of just the ensemble of women that are in it. I mean, Diane Lane is Diane Lane, Naomi Watts, Calista Flockhart, Chloe Savini, Demi Moore, like Molly Ringwald. Like, they're all just very, very well cast and doing a great job. But I didn't realize, like, I had always heard about Truman Capote, but I didn't know about Truman Capote.
Yeah.
And now I'm just wondering why people liked him. He just seems so, like, viciously mean for no reason. So there's
two things I knew about Truman Capote. I knew the movie.
Okay, Capote, right, with Philip Seymour Hoffman.
And I knew, because I had heard about it, like, they had mentioned it several times on CBS Sunday Morning throughout the years. Mm-hmm. The black and white party that he gave?
Yes, yes.
Was it called the black and white party?
The black and white ball,
yes. It was in the Plaza Hotel in New York.
Yep.
It was in the late 60s or early 70s that it was supposed to be the greatest party of all time. Yeah. That they still talk about it in New York City after all these years.
Yeah,
I for some reason that was like something really random I knew about him.
Yeah, and but that's just, he was a guy who kind of just ingratiated himself into high society and then started writing about high society and very quickly learned that you don't do that without right. consequences. But even still, even.
He would have been great on The Housewives.
He was basically proto Housewives, this whole scenario. But again, I just find it interesting when you've got this personality that you've only heard about and then you see it and you know, you can't help but look at it through the lens of today, which is not always the healthiest thing to do. But you start to look at it and you're like, but why were people drawn to this guy? Like, he was not nice. He wasn't kind.
So in other ways, he was Andy Cohen.
He was Andy Cohen. I mean, he was essentially Andy Cohen with a weirder voice.
You know? I mean, I've told you, I don't care for Andy Cohen one way or another. I just like to
just rile me up. Yeah. Just get me going. Yeah. Yeah. But it's just, it's a very enjoyable series. So, you know, catch it. It's on FX and on Hulu.
Yeah, I feel he's one of these people that, like, the folklore about him has lived,
the myth. Yeah.
Been bigger than
him. Only wrote two books.
He only wrote two books. And
yeah, the third one he never finished, which was going to be about these women.
Right. So yeah, I was like, really? I didn't know too much about him. I don't know too much about him. I'm like, I don't know. Maybe he was like a really famous or important, I don't know, producer.
Reporter or something.
Yeah. Or like studio exec.
Yeah.
Right? No, he just wrote two books.
He just wrote a couple books and then he showed up on talk shows for the later years of his life. He was a hopeless alcoholic. So
yeah. No. Wow.
Yep. Wow. It would have been better if he had a cowie.
Yes. He would have. If he would have had a cowie, he wouldn't have had the problems he had.
Exactly.
And cowie was around back then.
It was around back then. You know, it was in Cuba, but it was around.
I mean, I'm sure he went to Cuba.
I'm sure.
He went to Varadero.
Habana.
Habana. So, well, that's a good one. Well, everybody, that's it for our show this weekend. We hope you listened, laughed, and learned. And as always, remember to grab your pastelito, your croqueta, and your cowie. And have a great weekend, everyone.
Yes, and don't forget, guys, we've got 3 pop-ups this weekend. So just head over to Pimpampoyo MIA and check out where we're going to be. We're even in Broward, so you have no excuses.
Broward this weekend. Yeah. So I'm already tired, and you know, next week we'll be talking about our tires and weekend.
Exactly.
So anyway, have a great one, everybody.
All right. Bye. Pero Let Me Tell You is co-hosted by Darian Borges and Ismael Liano, produced by Ismael Liano, and our theme, Pero Let Me Tell You Freestyle, is composed by Michelangelo Lomlaplex, the official gay guy. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes. All right, everybody. Now, it's been a minute since we've had this guest here with us. We've got with us again the one, the only, Tristan. How are you, buddy?
Good.
You're good? How you been? How's life treating you in 2024?
Fine. Cool. Very epic.
Epic. Okay. I like epic. All right. Epic works for me. All right. So, yeah. So, I wanted to talk to you about something that you have been watching recently. What? One Piece.
Oh, yes. I've been watching that recently. I started watching it about,
why did you start watching it?
I don't know. I just, it seemed interesting.
Yeah?
I started watching about three weeks ago. I think I'm about at episode 196.
And there's 6,000 episodes, right?
1,000. 1,107.
Okay, I was close-ish. Sort of. Maybe. Not really. But so One Piece, I mean, I have not seen it, but I've seen some episodes when I'm here at the house and you're watching it. But okay, so give us very quickly, what's it about? It's about pirates, I think, right?
Yeah, it's a man in a straw hat called Luffy, and he's gonna be
Luffy. Oh, Luffy. Okay.
Luffy.
Okay.
And basically, he just wants to achieve his dream of being king of the pirates. Woo!
That's his goal, is just to become a pirate, like a real pirate.
Yeah, the king of the pirates.
Oh, king of the pirates.
Surpassing Gold D. Roger.
I didn't know pirates had kings and queens and princes and all that.
You learn something new every day.
This is very true. Very, very true. So so you're about, what did you say, you're 300 episodes in, give or take?
189.
Oh, okay.
Actually, not 189, sorry, 195.
195 episodes. So who's your favorite character so far?
I have to say, either Chopper or Zoro.
All right. Now, for our listeners who don't know the show, give us a little bit about who Chopper is and who Zoro is.
Chopper is a reindeer who lives in Drum Island.
Wait, is that the reindeer that got kicked out of the house of the mad scientist or something?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, I like him. I like him because I saw that episode.
Chopper.
And then who's Zoro?
A swordsman with green hair.
Oh, okay. Okay. Because do you know who Zoro is originally? Do you know the original character of Zoro?
No.
So Zoro is actually a character from literature, from, I believe it's a Mexican book.
Roro Noah Zoro.
Well, but I'm saying in the olden days, Zoro, and there's actually old movies. It's a very different Zoro, but he's also a swordsman. So I think that's probably where they got the inspiration for the name.
Tony Chopper and Roro Noah Zoro.
Wait, Chopper's name is Tony?
Yeah.
Oh, so it's Tony Chopper? Interesting. See, I only know Tony, which is an R&B group from the 90s. All right, so what's been your favorite episode so far? Almost 200 episodes. There's a lot to choose from.
I don't know so far.
Really? So of the ones you've seen so far, which one is the one that you think has stuck in your head the most?
I don't know. I just finished Sky Island, so.
Okay, and what is Sky Island? Is that just one episode? Is that several episodes?
It's
story?
About 42 episodes.
Oh, so that's like a season. Like a story arc.
I guess. Yeah, One Piece has different arcs.
Oh, okay, okay.
Starting in Romance Dawn.
Okay.
Then progressing to other parts.
Mm-hmm. So was it called Sky Island?
Yeah.
That's your favorite story arc, right? I think that's fair to say.
No, I said I just finished.
Oh, but I asked you what's your favorite one.
I don't know. I And there's so many to choose from.
Oh, okay, okay. And they're all, like, good in their own way.
Yeah, like Arlong Park, that was a good one.
Okay, what's that one about?
It's basically a group of fishmen who fight Luffy and or the Straw Hat crew.
This is a freaking brilliant show. Like, every time I ask you what that's about, the description you give me is so, like, just crazy cuckoo bananas that I love it.
Fishmen are basically these people who are, like, stronger than humans, but they're, like, humans and fish mixed together, so they can breathe on, like, land and breathe in the water.
So, like, an Aquaman situation?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. See, I just pictured somebody with legs, but, like, a fish head. No?
I guess.
That, is that not what it is?
I guess. I don't know.
What do you mean you guess? You've seen the show. I haven't.
Like, they have, like, blue cyanish skin.
Oh, okay. So they've got, like, scales. Like, yeah. Fish, probably. Okay. Interesting. Interesting. Now, have you seen the live action version?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, that's a lot fewer episodes so far.
Yeah, it's 8 episodes. I already finished it.
Oh, okay. Okay. And what story arc is it collecting in those 8 episodes? I know it has to change some stuff, obviously.
It goes from Romance Dawn all the way to Arlong Park.
Okay, so they've taken about 50 episodes and turned it into 8?
Yeah.
Yeah?
No, 35.
Okay.
Oh, no, not 35, about 40. About 40, I don't know.
So 40, shrunk it into 8.
About 35 is another character in the Straw Hat crew named Nami. That's just her, like, backstory.
Okay.
35 is, like, a backstory. Same as 36.
So is this one of those instances where it started off as a manga and then they made the anime, or was it always just an anime?
I think it was a manga, then they made the anime.
You think so? Yeah. Have you read the manga at all, or no? No.
No.
Oh, yeah, I'll look that up for you. I will see if I can find some for you.
I've seen parts of it, but
yeah. But you're not into manga. You're into anime. You're down with anime, but you're not.
Well,
I've only
watched, like, 2 anime in my
life. But you're only...
One Piece and Jujutsu Kaisen.
Okay. But you're 10 and all those anime have like 1,000 episodes. So that 2 anime that you've seen are a lot of anime.
Jujutsu Kaisen is about 40. So no.
That's it? Well, really?
It's a completely different anime.
No, I know. But I most anime, like, I'm thinking in terms of, like, Naruto. The original Naruto has, like, I don't even know how many hundreds of episodes.
I've never watched Naruto.
Oh, it's really good. It's really good. You should watch it. When you're done with One Piece, I recommend Naruto.
That's going to take about a month, maybe 2.
Because, okay.
No, just watching the whole show in one sitting takes 2 weeks.
The One Piece?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So then, yeah, you've got about a month and change left, give or take. Like about about a month and change, or 2 months maybe if you want to take your time with it.
Oh, by the way, that noise was not a fart. It was a noise. I mean, out of my mouth.
I know it wasn't a fart.
Worry. Please don't worry.
I don't think our listeners think that I would give you the microphone and put it to your butt. Weirdo.
No.
But yes, I recommend Naruto as your next one. I think you would enjoy it. It's a similar situation as One Piece, where it's like, you know, young group of friends and they're off on an adventure and all that. So it should be similar.
They're heading to the Grand Line to find Gold D. Roger's famous treasure.
That's One Piece. That's like the ultimate goal of the, what is it, the Straw Hat crew?
Straw Hat Pirates.
Okay, so wait. Now, I got to ask you a question, because I've noticed that they have, like, special powers, right? Like, what's his name? Luffy?
Not all of them. Oh. Some of them have a little something called Devil Fruits, which are rare fruits to give you, like, rare abilities. For example, Luffy has the Gum Gum Fruit, which, like, can make him, like, turn into rubber. He's rubber.
Ooh, I wish I had that.
Not all of them have Devil Fruits.
Oh, okay, okay.
Like, Zoro and Chopper. Well, actually, Chopper has one, but never mind.
So the Devil Fruits,
well, actually
gives everybody a different power.
Yeah, actually the only reason Chopper can talk since he's a reindeer is because he ate a Devil Fruit.
Well, there you go. So that's a power. I don't know about you, but I've never seen a reindeer that talks.
He has a blue nose.
I think that's the least of it. He's a talking reindeer.
Also, he can transform to different forms. But if a normal
Chopper can transform to different things?
Yeah, but if a normal human ate that, because if you didn't know, eating a devil fruit just it gives you special powers, but also takes away your ability to swim.
Oh,
so if a normal person
weird.
If a normal person ate that, you're just basically taking away your ability to swim. That's it.
And you don't always get a power, or you do.
I guess the human can transform or something. I don't know.
Okay. Well, you know more than I do. You're the one who watches the show. I would imagine you would know more than I would know. don't know what that means.
Orange Town. It's like one of the first arcs of One Piece. The second one.
Okay, it's called Orange Town. Okay.
Luffy and Nami fight Buggy the Clown. Well, actually,
that
Zoro, Nami, and Luffy.
That fight clown Buggy. Is creepy as hell.
How do you know?
Because I was here when you were watching it. That clown is creepy as hell.
I guess.
I don't like
he
it.
He also has a double fruit, the chop fruit. He can like take out body parts.
Like that's weird. I don't like it.
He can take out his head.
I don't like it.
No, it just shows his skin underneath.
I know. I just don't like it.
Like, imagine showing that. Imagine showing the should I even say this?
Say it.
Imagine just like showing the guts and the guts and blood and organs and bones and like the live action. No.
Again, I don't like it. I don't like it. That's why it's weird. Nope, don't like it.
Is this whole thing just me being here, just talking about One Piece?
Yeah, we're just chatting. We're catching up with you.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I was actually going to say, you know, thank you for swinging by. I mean, I don't know a lot about One Piece, but now I think myself and our listeners know a little bit more, and it's thanks to you. And it's thanks to you. You know? You always bring you bring some information to the table, and I want to thank you for swinging by and talking a little bit of One Piece.
Kobe Bryant.
Don't know what that... I don't think that's a story arc, but you know what? That's for another day. All right.
Well, there's a character in there called Kobe, but...
Oh, okay. But not Kobe Bryant.
No.
Okay. All right. Cool.
Oh, he's pink hair. I don't think Kobe Bryant has pink hair.
No, he didn't have pink hair. He was really good at basketball, but didn't have pink hair.
True.
Yeah, that was Dennis Rodman who had pink hair. It's another basketball player. You don't know who Dennis Rodman is. All right. Well, thanks for swinging by, Tristan. We love having you stop by and just talk about whatever's happening in your life at the moment. All right. Take care.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.